For 1 year, artist Carrie Schneider rowed to a tiny island in the middle of a lake in northern Wisconsin. 12 trips in all. She built a small wooden house and set it on fire, rowing back to shore to shoot it for a series of photographs that depict a house eternally engulfed in flames, never burning all the way down. Schneider was living in Helsinki, Finland, when the spark that lit her work, Burning House, first flared in her imagination. She was struck by the Finnish sauna, a small house that always has a fire within, a place for community that, due to the constant fire, also seems precarious.
Even more so, I had been doing this residency on a small island called Suomenlinna. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site right outside of Helsinki. You would have to get there by using a ferry. But then in the winter, it would completely freeze over and you could just walk to the residency on the island. And then there was this one very small island along that ferry route that had a house on it. And a friend of mine pointed to it and said, "That house keeps burning down and they keep building it again." And it just looked like this little hermit shack. And it was something that I think that as a kind of an idea, a romantic notion of a hermit shack is something that I really relate to. That kind of sense of isolation was something that really appealed to me.
Kendra, tell me, what do you see when you look at Burning House and all these photos?
Oh, I mean, they really are, I mean, it's not a critical thing to say, but they're just so stunning. I mean, they really are breathtaking. In this gallery that we're in with the photographs at the moment, there are 10 really large photographs from the series. The series has 15 photographs, but each of these is 40 by 50 inches, and they're installed very closely together to sort of prompt this filmic read. So you sort of get this idea of time and the seasonality of them. And you know, I've been looking at them on a screen and I've seen some of them in her studio, but bringing them all together and seeing them up on the wall under this light, the day that we did that, it was really exciting. You know, I think if you tell somebody that you have this body of work and one of the things you're exploring with it is the landscape of central Wisconsin, that they might kind of be surprised by that, but that actually when you start looking at all of the subtleties of these lights and the reflections and that reflected landscape in the surface of the water, or I really like when there are these traces of footprints or tire tracks or animals across the snow and the ice.
What does the role the fire plays in your landscape photos here?
The burning house is sort of a symbol for distress. You know, I think that's something that when we see it, it's just immediately seems like it's an emergency. And I think the fire in, you know, kind of having it be represented as if there's a singular house that's perpetually burning, that's always kind of in the state of destruction, but that never burns down completely. I'm telling a story that's, you know, kind of a fiction, because of course, every time I built and burned the house, it completely burned down. But I wanted it to look as if it's just this house that's perpetually burning. And so that for me, I was interested in having that fire be a constant in the landscape throughout all of the changing seasons, even though that was something that in order to achieve that, I had to build and burn the house many times over to do that.
Well, in this photo here, I do get the sense of emergency. The flames are blowing and it's bright because it's the photo's being taken at night. But interestingly, this one, the flames have not ventured outdoors. It actually looks very cozy, mm-hmm. as if someone were in there enjoying a nice fire.
Yeah, each of them are showing the different stages of the burn. So this one that we're looking at here, the house is just starting to be lit on fire. So it does kind of look like there's just lights on in a house in the middle of the landscape, and then others, it's so much more clearly ablaze that it's maybe just at the beginning, or maybe there's somewhere. This one over here is very, the entire house is ablaze. The shape of the house is just lit in flames.
It's consumed.
People say that there's something really mesmerizing about watching fire burn, that it's something they could just sit and watch forever. And I think that's something I think kind of comes from our kind of caveman past, where we can just sit and be near a fire and kind of feel kind of somewhat comforted or kind of be mesmerized by the flames. And I think that's kind of been the most common response that I've gotten.
There must have been some element of danger in doing this. You had to row across to this little island, mm-hmm. and you had to build this house time and time again. Did you run into any difficulty?
No, you know, I think in the end it just ended up being sort of like a giant bonfire. I mean, I think the difficulty would only really be in a lot of wind and not being able to light the fire, but it was something that it's such an isolated place. It was just kind of a wide open plain, especially in the winter when the lake completely freezes over. It's, you know, just wind whipping across it. So in a way, sometimes it was just hard to light it. I think that other than that, there wasn't really any danger once I was able to step away from it and just watch it burn.
Did you do this all 100% alone, or did you have to ask people to help you?
I had family help me. It was important to me when I first made the house that I was, I made it into four separate parts that I could physically carry myself and row myself. I wanted to be able to do it myself. But each time I had a member of my family, whether it was my father or my brother or my husband, help me to put it together and ignite it. I was very fortunate to have help.
Well, speaking of family, you do have a family connection to this lake, going back to your grandfather. Could you tell me about that?
It's true, yeah. My grandfather was in the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and it was something that we have many photographs of him as a young man, an unemployed 20-year-old, working alongside all of these other young men to basically clear brush and plant the forest in this area of north central Wisconsin around Perkinstown. The reason that I even discovered this place is that my father, after my grandfather had passed away, went and kind of did this journey to find that location and then just kind of fell in love with it himself. So he has a small summer cottage on that lake that we go to even in the winter. So I was able to have access to this place year round.
I like that connection that your grandfather was clearing things away and that by burning, you're also essentially clearing on that island.
True. I mean, I think it is, you know, I think that it is also, and the house is also kind of a symbol of family. And I think that is, it's something that hasn't really been lost on me, that I'm just also destroying something that kind of represents family in this environment that is very close to my family history. But, you know, I think that tension is interesting to me, that there is something about kind of the natural landscape can be changed, that this lake is actually man-made, that it, you know, that the island that it's sitting on is something that is kind of probably a mistake in their engineering, that it probably wasn't meant to be there, but then they didn't dig deep enough at that point. I'm interested in kind of this attempt to control nature, control something, and then having to relinquish that control as well.
You have a soundtrack mm-hmm. to go along with the photographs and the video of the photographs that you have online. It's by Argentinian composer Cecilia Lopez. Can you tell me about that and how you guys hooked up?
Yeah, Cecilia and I met at an artist residency several years ago. Cecilia is a composer who invents her own instruments. So the way that she made the soundtrack for Burning House is she found these giant sheets of scrap metal at a junkyard, and they're actually colloquially, they're called chapas, which means a sheet of scrap metal, or it can be the roof of a house. It's just kind of this ambiguous phrase. But she uses them as her instruments. So she records the resonances coming off of them using contact microphones and speakers, just using them as giant constants and kind of recording all of the nuances that come off of them to make the soundtrack. And I thought that it was very appropriate for something like the Burning House film, where there's the, you know, this constant of the landscape and the house burning, and then we get to see all of the subtleties kind of resonating off of that as well.
Kendra, how do you feel about there being a soundtrack to all these photographs, the music by Cecilia Lopez? How do you feel that adds to Carrie's work?
You know, I had seen the photographs first before I ever saw the film piece. And when I watched it and heard the soundtrack, it really was sort of the perfect accompaniment for it. There are so many ways that artists can kind of go wrong when they're adding sound into video. You know, perhaps it just sends the mood in a different direction, or perhaps there are songs with lyrics or too much dialogue. It doesn't allow for what the piece is really supposed to do. But the soundtrack has, it really expands that contemplative, meditative experience that a viewer has with this work. And the instrument that Cecilia made that she used, the chapas, that word is also slang for shanty. And so I think that's a really nice connection back to this idea of a house or a dwelling too.
I find in the photos that the nature that surrounds the fire is just as compelling as the fire itself, and the changing moods of the landscape that some might think, oh, well, it's just water, sky, and some trees, but there's a lot going on here.
That's really well put. I think that originally that wasn't something that was really driving the project, but in making the project over 2.5 years, I really just started to get to know the natural landscape and really fall in love with it, and each one of them is so incredibly different. So even if I woke up at sunrise in August over the course of a couple of years, each one would look so incredibly different. And I actually had a friend ask me, aren't you afraid you're going to get the same photograph? And it's just impossible.
None of them are alike.
You know, and I think that there's something about the Midwestern landscape that I think people speak of sometimes in a very dismissive way. And I think that there's just so much incredible, maybe more subtle natural beauty to it that I am really interested in.
That's artist Carrie Schneider with ISU Gallery's curator, Kendra Pates. Burning House is up through February 16th. I'm Laura Kennedy.